KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, unless otherwise noted. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday at 4:30 p.m.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Feminist Film Night and Planned Parenthood Fundraiser on Friday, August 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. This Planned Parenthood fundraiser will screen A Girl Like Her, which tells the hidden history of over a million young women who became pregnant in the 1950s and 60s and were banished to maternity homes to give birth and surrender their babies for adoption. And Jane, an Abortion Service, a documentary of Jane. The Chicago-based women's health group performed nearly 12,000 safe illegal abortions between 1969 and 1973. There will be a conversation after the films between a former Jane, Judith Arcana, and a girl like her, Lonnie Jo Lee. Again, that's the Feminist Film Night and Planned Parenthood Fundraiser on Friday, August 16th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. It is now 6:02. Up next, Right to Survive.
我觉得我能跟你讲的，你一定老早就知道了。
Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
Mike.
Misery, it create death, it create loneliness, it create mental traumatic experience, It creates feeling like we don't belong. And so we have guests here from St. Francis, southeast side of Portland, and they're going to talk to us about what's been happening at St. Francis. And I want to give you over to my co-host, Lisa Fay.
Good evening. Welcome to another episode of Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. And I want to say that it is cruel and inhumane when people are living without houses, living without shelter, doing whatever they can to be human, to be treated like human beings. And people are making phone calls. There's an unwanted houseless person walking my street. They've set up tents in my neighborhood. There's trash. Even though they have trash bags, there's trash in my neighborhood. Someone do something.
Okay, and we want our guests to go around and introduce themselves.
My name is Michael, and I've been houseless for 3 years.
Okay, and where are you? I don't know if you want to give it, but you was at St. Francis, right?
I'm around the neighborhood. I call it the neighborhood shuffle. Oh. I'm on the neighborhood shuffle.
And you want to introduce yourself?
My name's Rob, and I'm kind of newer to the St. Francis scene because I've been trying to avoid it for like 25 years. It's always been like an emergency resource for me to go to. I've experienced homelessness most of my life, and like probably like the last 5-6 years, I've been homeless in Portland and Eugene, and then back here again. So,
okay.
About 3 years.
So you know about houses.
I know about like having to do without it. Yeah.
So you know about that concept, the great American dream, right? The one you have to be asleep to believe it. That's why they call it a dream. You know, you get married, have 2.5 children, buy a house with a white picket fence, and have a dog to go by wild. That's the American dream. But what if you don't accomplish that? And what happens, and how you being treated, and how you being looked at by your peers, by your family, and by the house people, this country, and how do they treat you? Because people always say that, oh, houseless people ain't nothing but drug addicts and alcoholics and pimps and prostitutes. So we want to break those myths, and we want to break, we want to discuss how they treat us, because we believe in that concept. So what's going on at St. Francis?
Well, I call it the neighborhood shuffle because
the neighborhood shuffle.
They have outlined a specific area where one police officer will tell you, you need to go beyond this area. My girlfriend and I had an officer tell us, go closer to the bridge. And we're single women. We had somebody that was housed shaking my friend's tent so violently, trying to wake her up, saying, get out of my neighborhood. Get out of my neighborhood. And I grew up in that neighborhood.
But isn't neighborhood mean neighbors? Does neighborhood mean you're a neighborhood if you just live in houses, a car, a trailer, a tent, on the streets? What's the neighborhood?
Well, it was between 12th and 13th. Yeah. Where Washington High School sits, and my mom graduated that high school.
Yeah,
I was raised in the Sunnyside area.
So you're a part of that neighborhood no matter what
That's
your social status is, right? So what he thought?
He thought I just came from, you know, somewhere.
Okay.
But before he walked off, he took a handful of syringes out of his pocket.
Really?
And took a picture of them and
no
walked
kidding.
Off.
No kidding. And he threw them down by
yes,
your tent.
By my so girlfriend's
say,
tent.
This is what the houseless community is doing. I wish you would have took a photo
a
of that.
Video.
And
a
I
video.
Didn't have a phone video. To take my own picture.
Shucks.
Yeah.
I don't
want
to say shucks,
problem.
But I had to say shucks.
Yeah. That's another problem. We don't get electricity. We don't get, for a month at St. Francis, they shut off all the water.
They shut the water
all the
off.
Spigots. Somebody broke a water fountain mm-hmm. in the park. Mm-hmm. It was an accident, mm-hmm. but they turned off all the water spigots around it to where we didn't even have running water outside.
And, you know, during this kind of weather, man, you really need some water.
I mean, yes.
And the dogs need it, and like, and the people need it. And like, and where do you get it from? You have to go buy it, or you have to like tote it a long ways.
Doesn't this fall under the seventh? Get me right. I could be wrong because my memory is going. I'm getting older. I admit that. So isn't this like the fourth, the seventh, and the 15th Amendment of cruel and unusual punishment?
Yes.
On cutting off water in this heat?
For a place that's supposed to be a resource, you know.
I know.
Guest with us that just came in. I would like for him to introduce himself and where he resides.
Franklin Pittman. I reside in the streets.
Welcome, Franklin.
Okay, okay. Go ahead.
I know in other cities, in other states, it is mandatory, because it is cruel and unusual punishment, to deny water, access to water. So whether you're a convenience store or a restaurant or a shelter, if someone comes to you and says, may I have some water, they are obligated to give it to you.
That's just only in the Islamic community that do that.
No.
They don't know nothing about that.
Plaid pantry.
No. State law mandates it in many states.
Is it in this state?
That's what I was about to ask.
Plaid pantry removed their water button. On the fountain machine.
So what you're trying to tell me is that this city
is closing the
Oregon
out.
Department of Transportation, Portland Department of Transportation,
Metro.
And the city Metro
City
and the city official
county.
And the county, they sweep y'all and then say
squeeze us
and squeeze you, and then say you can't have no water, so you can wash out your clothes, so you can bathe yourself,
or
so
quench
you can
your thirst.
Brush your teeth, so you can quench your thirst, to look presentable, to look for housing, to look for education, to look for work,
to not be discriminated against.
Yeah, and they denied you all that with that self-care. So what do you all do? I want to hear from Frank, since he laughs. I'm going to put him under the bus.
He's going to
be on time. I want to hear from Frank. What do you do when these situations happen?
For water?
Or being swept?
Oh, being swept. What can you do? They have you get up and get out of there in 15 minutes. There's no way you can pack up and move in 15 minutes. Even if your stuff is already packed already, can't do it in 15 minutes. And they stand over you and lord over you. And yeah.
They tell you to quit shopping.
Then they take the stuff that you leave behind. They're making you leave stuff behind because they rush you out of there. And what little stuff we have, we need, and they take that from you. Yeah, so it's just hard. It's just
really a lot of people they lose tools that they've been accumulating to help them with their trade, so they can get work. They lose just everyday items that they really need to get by on day to day, and having to start over and start getting all that again when you just very very little resources at your disposal.
I lost my really false teeth. Yeah. And my dog's medicine.
503-231-8187 is the number to call in if you have any comment or you want to ask, I guess, any questions.
So, for the people in the listening audience, once sweeps have taken anywhere, dentures cost anywhere between $500 to $2,000. Tools you need to survive or to make a living can be in the thousands. Replacing a tent. Just replacing a tent. If you have no income, that could be a whole month of collecting bottles. What do people do? Where do they go?
I had a police officer take my tent. Told me it was too large for the sidewalk anyway, and that it wasn't in that great a shape. Took a buck knife off of his belt and cut it from the window to the ground. So now it's no longer any good. The 9th of the month is when I get my SNAP benefits. It was the 11th day of the month. Took my food in a cooler, took my cook source that I had to cook the food, and that was the time I lost my dentures. Because I had 15 minutes to grab what I could for me and my elderly dog, and I'm an elderly woman. And I thank God I have some friends who jumped in to help me grab whatever I could grab. And it was one cart of stuff of just blankets. I had no more padding, had no more dog bed, had no more hip and joint medicine for her, and she's 11. And it was just terrible. I had nothing. And I had no tent. But once they sweep your stuff, they tell you, you can get it back. And that was when it was in Raleigh Hills. I had no callback number, and I had no way to go get my stuff. So you're dead in the water.
And even if you did, now they've moved it out to Troutdale.
Yeah.
How does a person who doesn't have an income, or has a fixed income, who is spending every dime they have just to survive without shelter, go to Troutdale or Raleigh Hills? Or
it takes a whole day to just figure out how to get your stuff. You've missed every meal that there was, possibly missed shower time, so you're losing out on your resources trying to gain some of your stuff back.
I was asked to do a survey and talk to houseless people and what was the worst thing they could think about was houselessness. And this one guy told me something that we all aware of but we never realized, and it stuck with me, and I'm gonna use it. He said lines. You always have to wait in line. And if
food,
and if that time run out,
showers,
you mail. You're SOL
again. Bus tickets.
Yeah. So what kind of traumatic experience that you all go through when they cut water access to water, which our body is what, 97% water? And so now they're trying to tell you they're not giving you no body energy. And when they take all your belongings, your teeth, your ID, your sentimental photos that you can't never get anymore, your medicine, your pride. Mm-hmm. What goes through your mind when they take that from you?
Feel helpless and hopeless. I mean, you want to retaliate, but there's nothing you can do. You just follow the rules and get out. You know, yeah, and it's really hardening.
The rules, follow the rules of treating people like dirt.
Yeah.
Or they're going to cut off St. Francis. They were going to close it for a month if we didn't go. And so my reaction...
But St. Francis is a service for houseless people, so where are you supposed to go?
It was a ghost town for like 4 days. A ghost town.
No, wait. Hold up. This is a religious entity?
Don't go there.
A religious entity? I'm going there. I'm going there.
5-3-2-3-1-8-7-8-1-8-7 is the call-in number. Go there, Lee.
If I read my Bible and I read my New Testament, that we know that I'm not going to go there. But it says in the New Testament that Jesus was welcomed into people's homes and they washed his feet. Stranger to them, but they washed his feet. They fed him. They clothed him. They were believers of God. You have this big entity, the Catholic Church.
But we weren't given them parking.
Who says that because you're not paying the Catholic Church to park your tent on the sidewalk, you do not have any rights?
Tents or car parking.
Yeah, the car parking just happened recently. They put up a notice they don't want people camping in their cars adjacent to their property.
Yeah, that was recently after a
couple of days
ago. After the ghost town hit.
So, in my twisted philosophy, where I grew up Catholic, I'm a Muslim American now. Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. In my Catholic youth, I was told that Jesus could present himself to another human in any form. And if he presented himself to me and I rejected him, then there would be a great sin upon me that may keep me from heaven.
Okay, we have a call on the line. Okay, caller, state your name and ask a question or a statement.
James.
Hey, James.
Hi. So a lot of the camps do look kind of messy. How do you all respond to that the camps are messy?
Well, I'll let our guest talk to that.
I didn't hear the question.
He said, how do you respond to the messy camps?
How do we respond to the messy camps? We try to clean them up, but they rush us, so we can only take so much, and therefore there's the mess. You know, I mean, they give us time to do it, we'll clean up and move, but they stand over you right behind you. Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up.
All right, these people that are camping out, like jungle camping along the roads and the shrubbery around the interstate and the railroad, there's a lot of like possums and raccoons, and they're digging through that. They won't be able to get into it. But sometimes it's raining, the trail is slick, they're steep, and you can't carry like a bag of trash with you when you're going up and down.
Cleaning up around the place, I clean when I get there before I set my stuff up. I want the sidewalk, the street, everything clean because I have a dog, and I don't want her walking on it or laying on it. But I also help other people clean up. when people are gathering cans and bottles all night, they may come home or come back to their camp dead dog tired, you know, and so it looks kind of messy. They're going through these bottles and cans because only certain stores take certain ones, so they're dividing it. Sometimes it looks like a flailed out mess, you know, and then we have the mental illness that goes on top of it. Some of them can't control it. They don't, you know. And I remember my son as a teenager. To him, it didn't look messy. He liked it like that. But
I know. I go in some people's house and it look worse than the street. But mm-hmm. that's their space. Mm-hmm. But we talking about being in public space where you have to look presentable and make the city look good. So if a camp or an ad hoc legal campsite got everything in order. No computer parts, no loose bike parts, unless you're repairing bikes for a business, a lifestyle, or computers, it's feasible. But if your area is indecent and in order, why do they sweep you? Because they force you in the streets. They force you people to live in the streets by not giving you a proper income to keep up with the high price of rent, of food. The other day, me and my wife went out and bought food. Well, we have about 13 items. It was over $100. Yeah. You know, things is getting expensive. Mm-hmm. And so if your economic salary is not keeping up with the economic price, how do they expect you to stay in? But if you're not inside and your area is clean, why would they sweep you?
Because they don't want you in their neighborhood.
But what if you in that neighborhood? So you can be born in the neighborhood. You can have a house in the neighborhood, and you get evicted, or you renting, or you go to foreclosure, and all of a sudden you lose your housing. You're trash.
There was a time I stayed with my niece over the weekend. A newscaster did a story on the homeless and the Springwater corridor, and she said, "Now, if you see these tents or these campers popping up in your neighborhood, please make as many phone calls as you can. That's what gets a response." Mm-hmm. Now, are they being told to lie? Just call and tell them anything. Call and tell them you've got multiple people. The police asked me the other day, "So why are there always so many people around you?" You know, sarcastically. Sarcastically, I said, because I guess I'm a popular girl.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But we band together to help each other.
Exactly.
There's things I cannot do that these young men will do for me. And I'm very
And that's know, what you call community. Right. That's what you call neighborhood. That's what you call survival.
People help me with my dog.
Yeah.
You know, I have a young guy watching her right now, and when it's time to move, they'll push my carts for me.
Yeah.
They'll help me do the heavy stuff I cannot do.
503-231-8187 is a call-in number if you have a comment or you want to ask a question. We're going to go to a musical break, and we'll be back with our guest from St. Francis area. That the water been cut off, they going to sweep them, and where the biggest question
well,
is?
Well, increased sweeps. They're just sweeping like crazy.
Where do rapid. We go? That they exactly. I've been at like 4 or 5 sweeps this week, and I'm exhausted. So we'll be back after this musical break. You're listening to.
You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
There's something happening here. But what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going
Let's talk about
welcome back to Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. And we're here live in studio with three members of the St. Francis community. And we would like to hear more from them this evening. And we have some very serious issues around sweeps and what it does to a person and a community when it happens to them.
Sweeps. And we and I want people to go around and introduce themselves again. This is the St. Francis Houseless area.
Franklin.
My name is Michael.
I'm Rob.
Okay. Welcome. And 503-231-8187 is the call-in number. This is Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And we want to know about the effects that sweeps have on the houseless community. So you can go in any order you want, but tell us the truth.
Well, they take just about everything you have, and then that just the people that goes to stores and take stuff from stores, I mean, that just makes them go and get stuff again. I mean, it's just a revolving circle of just they take from us, we take, yeah. I mean, it's not, they aren't doing anything to help us, just making it harder on us. And it's getting so hard, man, it's just, you know, I don't know what to do half the time. Just, I'm tired now from that. They moved me today, they moved me 2 days ago, and then day before that, three times in 1 week. I mean, it's just the third day of the week.
So how do they expect you to behave when you have no security or no solid place to live? We have a caller on the line, so I'm going to interrupt. We're going to go to our caller. Caller, state your name and purpose.
Hi, Ibrahim. This is William Daniels, and I wanted to talk about the use of language.
The what? Can you repeat that again?
Use of language. Hello, William.
The use of language. Okay, tell me about the use of language.
Well, you folks have been referring to people as being houseless rather than homeless, which has been the traditional word. Mm-hmm. And there are other words that are used that, to me, we could change words to be more effectively communicate what's going on.
And that's what we're doing, because when you say you homeless, those negative connotations that they give, you ain't gonna never be nothing. You ain't gonna be nothing. You homeless.
Homeless is where the heart is.
And then they say homeless where the heart is. So they saying you homeless. So now we saying we just without a house, but we still human.
Exactly.
Okay. So that's why we use the phrase house.
Some people call it home free, because you don't have like the responsibilities. You have to upkeep it. You don't have to pay for it. You're home free.
But by any other mean that the government is causing people traumatic experience by taking their life savings, their life worth, and putting them in the streets, and then creating unjust laws to continue to criminalize them. And what we saying, what crime is a person committing when they sleeping?
Just trying to live.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Carla.
I'm with you 1,000,000%.
Okay.
And I just have three other words that I think we can be communicate more clearly. And the one word that you were talking about a moment ago was what the city calls sweep. And to me, you know, that's such a wonderful word. We're cleaning up.
That's right.
No, what we're doing is being inhumane, unloving, we're being abusive. So if we start referring to it as unloving sweeps, inhumane sweeps.
Thank you, William.
Inhumane, unloving, and abusive sweeps. If we start communicating that way, maybe people, the public, will get more... a little bit more aware of what's going on. Now, there's actually two other words that I also suggest we stop using, and that's the word rich and poor. So if we actually take a group of people and say, what do you mean when we use the word rich, what do you mean by that? When we use the word poor, what do you mean by that? There's a laundry list of words that are attached to those words. But if we start using the words people without a lot of money, or people with very little money, or people with a lot of money, suddenly all we have is people. And I think those two words are so loaded with garbage that we need to stop doing it. We need to just talk about people with a lot of money, people with a little money.
I call it the swoops. They swoop our stuff.
You're exactly right. Money, and position shouldn't define you. Humanity should define you. What you do for human should define you. I mean, I can go out and win the lotto or do like Jeffro Clanton, accidentally shoot at a possum and shoot us some oil and become rich all of a sudden. but it depends on how it changed me, how my behavior is. I'm still that same poor person that came across a lot of money. Am I going to live in a mansion and still eat possum innards and soup and stuff? Or am I going to live in a mansion and be persnickety and snobby? You change with your financial status, but it shouldn't change your mentality. We all should treat people as people, no matter what social status, no matter what spirituality, no matter what color of their skin, no matter how tall, they personal
mental
preference,
status.
They mental status, they gender
Stop
preference.
Stigmatizing.
No matter, as long as we're humans, we should treat humans as humans. And just because you reached your point and somebody else is still struggling don't mean you should treat them worse.
Absolutely.
And where's the thing about giving, you know, if not just, you know, money, material things. I have lost everything and somebody come to me for a blanket, I will give that to them. I had a man during the snow, had nothing, and I shared my blanket with him. It was a down comforter. We got into a small space and he shared my space with me. Because he was freezing cold.
Platonic. But they both were warm.
I know.
They were both.
I'm saying that's a good thing.
From the
that's
elements.
A good thing where a different gender can help each other and that be platonic and they looking at it as help. Okay, caller, are you done or we can go on?
I am done. Thank you so
All right.
much.
For and thank you for calling Daniels. In, William Daniels.
I would like to say that this $2.6 million that they're using to clean up after the homeless, wait till these homeowners start getting their property taxes raised.
Or wait till these homeowners become houseless all of a sudden.
When that happens,
I'm sure that happened with... Okay, we got another call on the line. Okay, caller, state your name and your business. Caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yoo-hoo. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. This is where the uncomfortable are made to be comfortable. Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes,
we
hello.
Hear you now.
So I'm wondering,
what's
what
your
is
name?
The impetus
what's your
for
name?
The police to
what's
do
your name?
Inhuman... Oh, my name is Christian.
Christian. Mm. Okay, Christian. All right, go.
What is the impetus for the police to do an inhumane swoop? Like, do they just feel like it
yes.
some point?
Well,
or
well
it, or,
you know,
or do they have like specific specific criteria.
You know, Chief Outlaw has been like speaking for more self-initiated police activity, like where the officer himself doesn't have like a warrant or anything, but he sees something and he wants to do something about it. And that could, he just, yeah, he could just totally be pissed off and just like see something. Oh, I'm going to get him, man. Just like, because he can. Right now, I don't think that we're seeing a lot of that right now, but like, I mean, the sweep activity, like Franklin, like three times in a week, and I mean, that's just a ridiculous pace. They usually don't do it more than like every other month, you know, for one person.
Right, right. They give you opportunities to clean up your area.
So what I say is for everybody to learn a constitutional, human, and civil rights, because what's being practiced here in Portland now is unconstitutional, it's unhumane, and it's uncivic. Because, you know, if the sidewalk is the public, and last time I checked, your social status doesn't say whether you public or not. So we are the public. So the public can be, you know, use public property.
So when they say you have to leave 4 feet of space enough for a wheelchair to get by, to walk by, okay, we leave that, and that's still not good enough. Do you know most people won't even walk by the homes?
Because these myths on what they tell about houseless people are this way and that way. And I don't know why they're afraid of us. They made us.
And we're very polite.
They made us do what we want to do. They see us. I mean, hey, how many people would sit around a campfire with a Muslim? A black Muslim, a former gangbanger from Chicago, you know.
But
since we became houseless, we in the same situation. And you have some Trump supporters, you have some Bin Laden supporters, you have some Hillary Clinton supporters, you have everybody that's in the streets. Anything that has to do with America is in the street. And we all realizing that we all being pushed over by this government, because if you ain't patronizing this country where they think and they got to make room and they greedy to get more money, they causing havoc on people and causing them to live in the street. And that's when they impose these unjust laws. Our life, I guess, to speak more.
They have a community meeting every Tuesday, the police, the community, the people in the community, to talk about us, but we're never invited to the things.
Right, because you can't call it a community. It's like a neighborhood association or something.
Yeah.
We're excluded, so we're part of the community. We're there.
That's when you crash the meeting.
You can tell who they are.
Yeah, we know who they are. And they all sit and talk about us every Tuesday and the things we do, but then that makes them more afraid of us. But why can't they sit down and talk with us and they'll see we're just like you.
You know what?
The same thing we do, but they behind closed doors. We all have closed doors.
Yeah.
Well, here's my view on that. All those meetings have to be public. Mm-hmm. They have to be recorded for the public to be able to see what they're talking about, what they're planning. And they have to be open to the public. And here's the catcher. When Ibrahim was houseless, when I was houseless, I'm sure you've all done this at one point or another. Maybe not. Find out where people are having meetings, and usually they have some type of snacks or food. You know, just go sit in, get yourself a little snack or a little dinner, hear what they have to say, you know. And if it's city planning or neighborhood planning, then you know what's coming down the line. How it's going to affect you.
I still would like to hear more from my guests about the effect of sweeps on what mental or trauma or traumatic experience it causes.
The day that it happens, everybody's on edge. Everybody's pissed off. Some are crying. They've lost everything. Now they're trying to gather tents or tarps, you know, something. Or they go to the local drug man and go do more drugs.
So do you think they inadvertently is doing this to make money? Because if they take your your tents, you're going to patronize the sporting good places and go by sleeping.
Or somebody will.
In
tents.
Yeah, so inadvertently they wreck that. Or you could go to the pharmaceutical place and get pharmaceutical drugs, which is the biggest drug dealers in this country. And then once the police take your drug, you say, hey, I got to do something to combat my traumatic experience or my mental illness, so I'm going to self-medicate. Then you become a hooked to crack, crystal, weed, heroin, or whatever they got out there because you want to self-medicate because they took your drugs that the big drug dealer gave you. So what I'm trying to say, we need to explain on how this affects people so the public can know so how y'all being affected by their public money that they giving it to the government.
The people are fighting amongst each other. It'll cause us to start fighting with each other, you know, and cause turmoil when prior to that there wasn't. You know, there's heavier drug use. Tweakers up all night. They ain't got nothing to sleep with.
And they're afraid to go to sleep, afraid they're going to lose their stuff.
It's worse than...
They do that to stay up so nobody won't come by and take them. Like when I was sleeping by St. Francis around by Franz Bakery, they had a frat house where they had a party where they could drink beer and throw the bottle and splash them in a glass, splash in our face. Mm. And we called the police, and guess who got arrested? Weedy. for not being, for you shouldn't be sleeping on public sidewalk, but I'm the public, so I can utilize this public.
At bar closing time.
Yeah.
The police don't chase down the ones drinking and driving and racing. My girlfriend had a rolling office chair thrown on her hooch, almost killed her. And at the same time, somebody rolled in a full aired up tire on the mine, blocked me in my house, my tent, and I couldn't even get out to go defend ourselves.
So let's talk about stability, where when You find a good spot to sleep. And I did a speech on this in Minneapolis, Minnesota, gentrification of homeless neighborhood. But now I want to call it genocide of homeless neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Because that's what sweeps literally is. It's genocide because it's killing
people. It's not camping. It's not fun.
That's right. It's killing people. So when they see a good place where homeless people seek out land and reside, and they come sweep y'all, and then all of a sudden you come back, and there's a condominium there. Let's talk about stability. Look at all these. Look at
Burnside.
Look at all these buildings, these ugly buildings that's going up where houses and people used to be. And why can't they make rent those out to houses people per income level, not per their income, on what they can make? Because once you live on the streets, it's hard to get employment because you have no address, you have no phone, you can't wash your clothes, you can't take a shower.
Right, and like a day is like, you know, a few hours sometimes, you know, because you have no schedule and you're just going to do this, you just do that. And like, you know, the days get away from you so fast out here because like unless you have like appointments, you know, there's not a lot to do. You're just like waiting around to see your friends and talk, you know. I was going to say something.
If you don't have
it's like, and also it's like when these sweeps happen at this kind of pace, people are going to rely on like their own particular skill set, and like whether that's, you know, just earning a lot of money really fast, or like going canning, or just like scavenging. I get almost everything I have scavenging when I go canning. I'll just like, hey, I need this, you know, I'll see stuff like. You know, I go canning in some fairly prosperous neighborhoods, and there's all kinds of great stuff out there. You know, I found, you know, guitar bags, I found tents, I found, you know, it's like.
And then you're called a hoarder.
Yeah.
You know,
bring up
that word, hoarder.
Don't go there.
I'm a gifter.
I'm here with the houseless people where I feel comfortable.
Here comes that survey.
Well, I went to this meeting where somebody needed to make some money, and they did a research on hoarding. And the hoarding was all about criminalizing discrimination against the houseless people. Uh-huh. They had sentimental hoarding, greedy hoarding,
horny because I may not get it no more, uh-huh. or share horny. Uh-huh. And so I asked share horny, the question. Yeah, share horny. That was a new one.
Just so, pass along. How does that horny when you don't even have it anymore?
Hey, I mean, have some more stuff.
Well, people do put the word out, hey, I need this or I need that.
Right, know? Right.
And people,
right.
they run across it. They bring me stuff all the time. Exactly. Dog beds, dog dishes, exactly. dog food, dog food yeah. you know.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so I asked this question. What do you call it when a man, when a rich man has six cars?
Or 12.
Oh, yeah. They call it a collection. Yeah. Not hoarding. Yeah.
If a houseless person has one shopping cart,
it's stolen.
It's stolen.
And a hoarder.
Hoarding. So they have all this stuff. But that could be all the stuff they have from their apartment mm-hmm. or from their house. And they're trying to keep it. That's sentimental. And then here come the police come and sweep. I mean, when I was in a place where I first got swept, that they took my pictures of my children, my parents, my graduation, all my awards, all my certificates, all my
resume,
everything, even my college degree. And I said, now how I'm gonna prove to people I did this? And so what I did, I got the press. So how do you all feel? I mean, I'm still trying to get that answer out of you all. How do y'all feel? How do it affect y'all when y'all get swept?
I feel lonely. I lost my brother out here almost 3 years ago. That's whose dog I am growing old with now. And a year later, I lost my sister. Mm-hmm. And just recently, I lost my mother. And it's like, I feel alone.
So I may be asking the wrong question, because being swept is something like waking up, eating your cornflakes, your Kellogg Frosted Flakes and stuff, or ramen noodles, and going back to sleep. So that's a common thing with the houseless people, and maybe mm-hmm. we are used to it, and maybe I'm asking the wrong question, because we always being pushed around and pushed along, and we always have to find location to find out where we can stay for at least 4 days, mm-hmm. right? At least 4 days. So are we using? So maybe we should call ourselves gypsies.
Yeah.
There you go. Mobile gypsies.
Yes, mobile gypsies. They don't like that because we move around and we live off the land, and we not paying Monsanto. Taxes.
It's hard to live up
for GMO corn.
Yeah, for GMO.
Yeah, the city needs to find some kind of way to make a vetting process so that people who are actually responsible and aren't making the whole huge messes and aren't leaving syringes laying around everywhere, if you could develop healthy relationships, a respectful relationship with the people in the neighborhood, they totally don't mind you being there. I was totally squatting on the porch at some place during the winter about like 3 years ago. When people were freezing to death and stuff like that, I was sleeping on a porch, and I think pretty much all the neighbors on that whole block knew I was there. And they saw me in the morning. They asked me how I was doing. You know, it's like, you know, I mean, like, not just saying, you know, good morning. They're asking, you know, hey, are you sick? You okay? Can we help you? And I was like, no, it's okay.
So what if you have a houseless phobia person? How should they? I mean, who should approach who, and how should they do it? I remember when I was sleeping outside, I saw a lady in the wintertime. You know, Portland's winter lasts about 2 hours.
Unless you're living out there.
And she had an argument with her boyfriend. She was walking in bare feet, and I saw her, and I came out my tent, and I scared her. And I'm going to give her a name because she's a good friend. Her name is Allie Crow, but she got married, and I don't know her new name now. And I gave her my shoes and stuff. So, you know, you're going to catch the death of pneumonia out here walking those shoes on. And because of that, it built a relationship where she still can support everything I do. Everything I'm involved in, she support, because she realized, hey, if this house person is treating me like dirt, and here's this unhoused person who have nothing that's treating me like a queen, how much far bad are they? You don't never know who's in the street. You never know why they're in the street. You can't predict on a person's circumstance. So again, the effects of sweeps it is causing havoc on our community. Now, at St. Francis, you don't have no water.
Oh, they turned it on today.
Today, after 30 days, they turned it on today. Okay, and I'm hearing that at St. Francis, if a city official come by and see it dirty, they gonna say no more camping over here. But just like you said, that sometimes hospice people are really vampires, because the only movement they can do is at night when the public is asleep, and so they go at night to do their thing, not to lurch and seek where they can stand, but to make substantial living for themselves, where they won't be ridiculed and say, oh, call the police. It's a houseless person walking through our neighborhood. Oh, they going to distort my children's mind.
And during the day, people snarl at you. Mm-hmm. You know, cars mm-hmm. will not move for you to move your cart.
Right.
I'd rather do it in the middle of the night.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because we can just get it done. We don't have to be stopped, wait for traffic, you know.
So we have 4 minutes left, and I would like to have another show on sweeps. I mean, because that's the biggest thing that affects the houseless community. When you all of a sudden you thrust into the streets, you houseless, and you don't know what to do, because they don't teach us how to live. They teach us how to live and promote the American dream on getting housing, but they don't treat you how to live when you can't attain that housing. And so when we go into the street, we are not home.
St. Francis police officers, I believe all police officers should get their gamut of the whole state of Oregon. These guys are becoming too comfortable with certain people. You know, one addressed me by my name the other day, as if we were best friends. You know, and I don't even know his name, asking me about someone else. They should be made to go to another neighborhood, because they are picking people out, targeting people that may have a warrant. You seen so-and-so? You know, like they're going to chase them down. And then they book and release them.
Like
they're back
I would
before
tell
lunchtime.
You, even if it's book and release, like I would tell you, Susie's here, Robert's there.
You don't tell where nobody's at. That's a
no, that's
whole,
what
that's
I told
a
him.
Houseless
I said,
cult.
You act like I'm on your first name basis.
And so, don't address me by my first name.
So we have
address
three,
me as Miss
so we
or
have
Mr.
Three, we have 3 minutes left, and I want our guests to have any one last comment. I know this hour went fast about sweeps. It's a lot we could talk about, but we did get enough pertinent information.
I'd like to have them all back in the studio.
To let people know what's happening at St. Francis. They cut the water off from the people. They're being swept and cleaned up because they built a new apartment complex across from where houseless people at, and the houseless people can't go. So can you give us one last comment on what you all think?
Well, being swept today, like now, I have nowhere to go or nowhere. Where am I going? And what am I going to do? My stuff is just parked, all wrapped up, and here I sit, nowhere where to go. Yeah.
He's always smiling, laughing, whistling.
You have to. You have to.
I like being around Franklin.
I want to thank Kabu just for being a video voice for us.
My comment is, stop it. You know, just stop it. It's not camping, we're living. I can't stand the phrase camping. You know, we're just trying to live.
Survive.
And I'm all by myself.
You have a right to.
Like I said, it's just like there's very few media voices speaking up on our behalf, and like KBU is one of the very few. Thanks.
Thank you.
And Ani, we got to, you know, like, where's Waldo at? We got to where Ani at. Ani, come back to KBU. We love you. We miss you. Rights to Survive is having a 10-year anniversary at the Clinton Theater, the 10th of September, the second Tuesday. Second Tuesday in September from 7 to 9:30. We're going to show videos and slideshows. We're going to have
guest speakers
as a fundraiser. So come one, come all, and
bring
look at
friends.
The 10 years of Right to Survive. You want to come to Right to Survive meeting? Lisa Faye, take us out.
And bring your checkbooks. If you'd like to come to a Right to Survive meeting, our next meeting will be the fourth Thursday of this month at Sisters of the Road Cafe, 133 Southwest Davis. Southwest Davis and 6th. Right along the Max line there.
And come voice your opinion. You want to help houseless people? You know what you want. You want to know what you can do to volunteer. Come to Right to Survive Meeting. We want to thank our guests for coming on here so bravely to express how the city is sweeping them and what kind of traumatic exposure experience they're going through. And then they saying, oh, houseless people are crazy. You need to be afraid of us. You create of us. You be aware because we there. Salam alaikum.
Right to Survive is at www.righttosurvive.org. Or you could email us at r2spdx@gmail.com. r2spdx@gmail.com. Thank you. And remember, be kind to one another.
KBO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Unity, a night of feminist Latinx PDX hip-hop, Tuesday, August 28th at 9 p.m. at the Dog for Lunch in Portland. Unity features artists Maria Advertencia Lirica from Oaxaca, Valentina Peralta from Chile, Portland's Kayla J, and DJ La Pausi.